And is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even through the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's why when you hear a song like Sold Out and you apply the words, they mean something. We break down strongholds. We tear demons down to the ground when you use the word of God and when you mean it and when you believe it. Not just singing a song because, oh, I like, that's my song. My heart is fixed. My mind's laid up. Gone, y'all. That's one thing. We don't mind emotion, but we want devotion. See, the Lord wants devotion. It's okay. It's okay to scream and shout. It's okay to fall out on the floor. But don't get up the same way you were when you fell down. Make, you know, that's what it is. The word of God changes us. It's living and powerful. It transforms us, as it says in Romans. And that's what makes us sold out for Jesus. When you find a hero, when you find a book, when you find an answer to your problems, you got to go with that answer. That's what I found in Jesus. When I found someone who would never double cross me, someone who would never leave me stranded, someone who would never forsake me, or someone who would never not provide for me. Not only does he provide for me, but for my children, for my grandchildren, for my cousins, neighbors. He forgives me. He even teaches me to forgive my enemies. That's why we're sold out. That's why we have to be sold out. When we don't know what to do, and we can't find an answer, and we don't know what's going to come to America or anyplace else next week, we know we have an answer in Jesus Christ. That's why we're sold out. That's a sobering thought, to know that we have a God who never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you stranded. I want to do something that I don't usually do, but I want to call my newfound friend Miles. I want him to come up here because I'll tell you about Miles. Miles is from Korea. And he's visiting us here. He's in the United States now. He's looking for a church home. And like I tell everybody, I say, Miles, you let the Lord lead you. Now, I don't think it's an accident that he's from Korea. He's sitting right next to Ron, who served in Korea. And I served in Korea. And he comes here today to our church. And he told me that he has a relative, Soo Chin, who is expecting. And in 2 weeks, she's going to deliver. And there is a situation where the baby is not healthy. I want to call him up, and I want him to stand in the gap. Come on up, Miles. I want him to just stand here. Come on up. And I just want you all to stand and extend your hand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for a healthy baby. We're going to pray, and he's going to stand in the gap. And we're going to anoint him. And we're going to undo what the devil is trying to do. Father God, I just thank you right now, and I thank you for our brother Miles, Lord God, who has traveled quite a long way. I don't think it's an accident that you brought him here today, Lord God, and the connection that I feel for this young man. I'm asking you right now, Lord God, to bless his relative, bless Soo Chin, to have a healthy baby, boy or girl, according to your will, Lord God. We are already lifting this baby up to you, that this will be a blessed baby. This will be a healthy baby, Lord God. We are praying this in the name of Jesus, knowing that you hear the effective and fervent prayers of the righteous. With everything that is in us, Lord God, we are delivering this to you, Lord God, for the delivery of this child. A healthy mother, a healthy baby, a healthy relationship. Continue to use this young man for your glory, Lord. Bless the doctors, bless the works of their hands. According to your will, dispatch your angels, keep them covered over his life and the lives of this child and this mother. In Jesus' mighty name, we claim it right now. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Thank you, Maya. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. And pray with expectancy. So I want to thank everybody and everybody that's here and everyone on Periscope who's going to hear this message. We thank you for tuning in. And we are Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide. And right now we're doing part two of our sermon, which is Pride Comes Before the Fall. I'm continuing this week with part two. And we're taking a look at the notion and the concept of pride. And we learned last week that pride lies at the root of all sin. At the bottom of it is pride, okay? And as I alluded to last week, we as human beings are the recipients of a sin nature. We get our sin nature from Adam and Eve. Ever since they broke the covenant with God, we have inherited this sin nature. And Romans 3:23 tells us that. What does it tell us? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's true of each one of us, all of us, every human being, okay? And in Romans 3:9, it tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, as the scripture says. And so obviously, in our natural state as human beings, we're very susceptible to sin. So we all need to know that absent a cure or remedy, we all fall into a problem when it comes to sinning, okay? We just can't do it on our own. So we need to know, we need to find an answer to this problem of sinning. And well, the first step, I believe, I know, the first step in solving any problem is what? Admitting that you have a problem in the first place, right? And we do have a problem. Has anyone ever heard that before? The first step to figure out your problem is to admit that you have one, right? Maybe in a rehabilitation program or a counseling program. They tell you little tidbits like that, and that's absolutely true, okay? But even more importantly than hearing it at meetings, the Bible itself points it out. Did you know that? The Bible itself points it out. The Bible, that the first step in solving our problems to admit or confess our problems. Look at 1 John 1:9. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? It said, if we confess our sins or admit them, confess them, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and heal us from all unrighteousness. First step is to confess your sins. Who are you confessing them to? Jesus, okay? So the first step is to look toward Jesus and tell him what your problem is. He already knows. He wants you to know. He already knows what our problem is. In other words, the first step into getting a jump on sin is to realize that it's there. No matter how good we think we might be, no matter how beautiful you are, no matter how handsome you are, articulate, money, whatever the case may be, how famous or infamous you might be. Sin is there. And there we go. The Word of God tells us with good, sound, biblical solutions right from the start how to get the jump on sin. The first step in overcoming or ridding ourselves of this propensity to sin, then, is acknowledging our God and acknowledging sin before God. Acknowledging that it's there. We don't like hearing that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't like to hear that. We don't like hearing that we have a sin nature. Beautiful little babies, our children, have a sin nature. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do, little pretty, pretty baby. You pretty, pretty little thing. You pretty little sinner. You just a pretty little thing. You know how I know babies have sin nature? We just talked to my daughter. My daughter has a little baby. She's just the cutest little thing. Yes, she is. Little old bundle. She watches everything. She's got these big eyes, and she watches everything. She looks at you, and she won't smile at first. She check you out for a long time. I don't know how many months old she is. 18 months old. But that little girl, my daughter breastfeeds her. Let me tell you something about this baby. My daughter works hard. You know, she's an attorney. And she's doing trial law. I don't care. She gets home, that baby can be doing well all day. But when my daughter gets home, that baby, if you don't get over there and nurse that baby, she'll let out a scream that wake up the whole neighborhood. So loud that my daughter said, Ma, I don't even have a chance to change clothes. She won't let me change clothes. Pastor Annalisa said, well, does she do that all the time? No, she just does it with me when I get home. See, these little babies, they know what they're doing. It's about me. She's saying, why? She probably know what time it is. You know, these little babies, they know. And you better get over here and nurse me. What's wrong with you? Are you tired? You've been working 16. You had me. You better get over here and give me what I need. That's that sin nature. That's that sin nature. Cute. Even when she's full. She get full. She just want to know it's around. Don't go nowhere. Stay right there. All day and all night. Isn't that something? Now, that's a dilemma. Now, my daughter, I'm glad she's bright because she's going to have to figure this out, how to get around this one, you know. But that's the way it goes. We all have a sin nature. And we looked at this, and we looked at Proverbs 16. And it's a very, very potent scripture. That's why we're leaving it there, Proverbs 16, 18, and 19. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, right? It says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. That's a loaded statement. That's a loaded sentence. Because first of all, it tells you that pride goes before destruction. Before you fall, pride is going to be in the mix somewhere. Before you hit rock bottom, you'll know how you got there because pride went before you to move things so to let you by. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit. What's a haughty spirit? No, a haughty, proud spirit. It's about me. It's about my. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I do? Do you know my family? Do you know I come from this area? Do you know? Oh, no. That car is not good enough for me. You know I only drive that. I only walk in these circles. You know the people I run with? Maybe drop some names on you. That's a haughty spirit. It says pride goes before destruction. That haughty spirit will bring you down. And then the second part says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. Better to hang with the folks. Better to hang with people who are real. Better to do the things that you may not see the reward right away, but you'll see it later. Better to work hard. Better to keep focused on the pride. Better to walk in the ways of the Lord. Than to get all the money to divide the spoil with the proud. Better to hang with a group of real people than with a clique. In other words, this is some powerful stuff here in the scripture right here. If we listen to it, because don't we do those things? Don't we go with people that we know we got no business hanging out with people like that? Just because a person has money, now you start telling up behind that person. All money is not good money. Sometimes it's better to have no money. Some people play the lottery because they want to be rich. And what happens? Their life is turned upside down when they get that money. Right? So we got to set ourselves up in the ways of the Lord first of all. And that's why this is such a powerful truth. This is what is called an axiom, an A-X-I-O-M. It's a truth. It's a bona fide truth. Then the scripture is true. So we know this. This Bible scripture. I've seen a lot of men and women that live the high life. You know, I did police work for 30-some years. I've seen a lot of people who had money, fame, fortune. I sat and talked with them. I saw how they did things. Then I saw them fall. Because many of them, many had a lot of money. They had a lot of power. You know, I remember Huey Newton. I knew where his house was. He lived on my beat, the Black Panther. I remember Huey. And I remember Dwayne Hurd, his bodyguard, who was 7 feet tall, and they just walked through. And he would lead Huey through, and Huey would just walk behind. I remember all of this, see? And I remember the things that were going on in that time. And I've seen people. I've seen a lot of the famous singers and rappers and everything else and entertainers. All the money was not good money. Now, I saw how they went to the top and didn't know how to handle certain things and then fell very hard. I saw a man who had all kinds of money and all kinds of fame, but he was so notorious that his whole family had been executed. From his father to his sister to his brother to his other brother was on the street and lost his mind. Is it worth it? This scripture tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You don't want any of that stuff. I'm telling you right now. That's why it's important. I once brought in a bank robber when I was doing police work. This man had robbed bank after bank after bank. He was very brash. He was very proud. And he was taking down banks. It got to be so notorious that he would rob one bank and the police would get there and he would rob, and by the time we get there, he'd rob another bank three blocks down. He went from Oakland to Berkeley and back again, all in a matter of hours. Pride. We finally caught up with him. We caught him. And we brought him in. Brought him in and put him into the cell. We were talking. He wanted to talk. And he was in the cell. I'll never forget it. He said, Jones. He said, I'm really kind of glad it's over now. And you know what? He was a nice young man, but he had been on drugs and he had this addiction and he wasn't afraid and he was brash. And he said it to me. He said, but tell the truth. He said, I was good, wasn't I? He said, I had y'all going, didn't I? I said, you had us going, you did. He said, I was good, wasn't I, though? Well, I was good. Yeah, he was good and proud. Good and proud. The problem is, he robbed so many banks, and this was back in the 80s, that they give you a sentence for armed robbery, especially if you get a federal sentence. Consecutive terms in prison. You rob three banks, you get 10 years for each bank. That means that they don't combine it. You do 10, then you got to do 10 for the second, and you got to do 10 for the third, and you got to do 10 for the fourth. Now, I estimate now it's 2017, and I think about that young man. Do you know that he's probably still, chances are he could still be in prison right now. For that moment of time, he robbed these banks in a matter of 4 to 5 days. 4 to 5 days, and you get 45 years. You see how pride and destruction goes before you? A haughty spirit goes before a fall. I've seen people fall for those reasons. Sometimes hanging with the wrong crowd, what we used to call the in crowd. Should be called the out crowd. Stay out of it. The away crowd. Stay away from them. That's what it should be called. But getting back to the scripture, pride was at the root of all of this. Is what I'm saying. Whether you're bank robbers, whether they were drug dealers, even athletes, professional athletes, pride on steroids. I've seen them. I know them. It's been in the news. Okay, whatever the case may be, pride plays an integral part and is predominant in our sinful activity. And when the bottom falls out, the fall is extremely hard. It's extremely hard when we fall, when we make a mistake and because of our pride. Because riding pride is like riding in a damaged hot air balloon. I think Sister Dora says something about that. That balloon will only take you so high and so far. But the thing about a hot air balloon is when it crashes, it usually crashes and burns. All right? And you will fall. And when that burn comes, you're either going to burn, you're going to burn figuratively in the spirit if you don't get a hold of pride. And sometimes you burn literally. I've seen people when those balloons catch fire. So that's how pride is. And once it's beyond our control, you can look forward to crashing and burning. One of the most interesting examples of pride and destruction is contained in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. Let's go there now. Let's go to Isaiah, if you have your Bibles. And we're going to go to Isaiah 14. Sister Liz might, if she can grab that and put it on the board, if she can. If not, just go to your Bibles. And we're going to read about Isaiah. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 14:12, and we're going to go down to 15. It says here, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, that's some powerful stuff right there. I tell you what, this Bible is no joke. When you read this Bible, you see the truth. Okay? Just look at that. We know that it's talking about Lucifer. We see his name. Lucifer, whose name literally means the shining one. And here in the Bible, he is called Son of the Morning. And even though this this text is also used to reference not only Lucifer, but the Babylonian king. You all know King Nebuchadnezzar? It's speaking also of him if you read on, if you read further. So it has dual meanings. Both literally and figuratively, we clearly see that pride sets us up for a fall. Whether you are Satan himself or Lucifer or when you come after him, you see, it sets us up for a fall and utter failure. Nowhere is this factor made more vivid and more poignant than in the Bible. This scripture, and let's go to another one. Let's go to Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel. And let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. There's some verses in here that I want to look at, and we'll talk about them. Ezekiel 28, I'm going to start at 12b, and I'm going to go down to 19. It says, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing, out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." Did you hear that, you all? "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." We need to check our own hearts, don't we? It doesn't have to just be beauty. It can be a whole bunch of other things. Your heart can just be carried away. "You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading," on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I'll stop there. I'll stop there. Now, even though some of these scriptures or verses speak in terms of a man, the king of Tyre, right? Some of them. But much of the text goes beyond human description. It goes beyond human description. It goes beyond points that would be attributed to a human. So we know that it's talking about a supernatural being, a supernatural and powerful angel. Maybe the most powerful of all angels, Satan himself. It's fair to say that, again, this is a dual prophecy. And we have to understand what the Bible is saying. The king of Tyre. And again, whether to choose or compare the king of Tyre to Satan, or choose to believe that the king of Tyre was possessed by Satan, one thing we can't deny, and that is that pride brought both of them down. That's the point. Pride brought the devil down. Pride brought down the king. And guess what? Pride is doing the same things today. Pride is still doing the same thing. It will cause you to crash and burn in theology circles as well. Pride waits to bring us down. It lets you go up, then it brings you down. It's a false sense of security, pride is. And in theology circles, it's well accepted that Satan was the subject of this historical bit of scripture, but even Jesus himself makes reference to the plunge that Satan took. He says it in Luke 10:19. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall. I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. That's what Jesus says. So Satan, who was thought to, this is the point we have to think about. Satan, who was thought to be God's most beautiful and anointed angel. He was powerful. He was gifted. He was blessed, it seems, beyond compare. Yet he could not resolve pride. He couldn't overcome pride. He was in God's throne room. He was right there with the Lord. Look at the words in that scripture. Look at the words in Ezekiel. How the Lord had blessed him, what the Lord did for Satan. He was right there. He had all the everything you could ever want. It was right there for him. It says it. It says he became filled with violence. He says you walk back and forth in the midst of stones. You were perfect from the day you were created, that I made you that way. That's what the Lord is saying. I established you. You were on my holy mountain. I let you see my holy mountain. We need to look at this and say, what has God done for me? Can we compare ourselves to being in a position where God has given us things? I see mothers with beautiful babies in here. I see people who have come from thousands of miles to America. Where is he taking us? Why is he doing it? And what can we give back? Is there anything holding us back from saying, thank you, Jesus? Is there anything holding us back to say, Lord, I'm not tired enough yet, Lord? I'll never tire of doing your work. See, that's this thing about pride. Pride will have us saying, well, I'm just too tired today. I can't make it. And the Lord said, but I fashioned you. But you, do you know what I have for you? Somebody quoted Jeremiah 29:11. I just heard somebody quote that. Okay. I know the thoughts that I have for you, the thoughts I think for you of good and not evil, thoughts to give you a future and a hope. And if you pray to me, it goes on to talk about if you pray to me, I'll listen to you. I'll be right there for you. It's like the Lord is just laying him. The Lord laying himself at our feet. We're supposed to lay ourselves at the Lord's feet, see? But sometimes pride won't let us do it. Because of pride, we say, I ain't got time for that today. It's the playoffs. Playoffs today. It's all about me, Jesus, nobody else. Nobody else, because it's all about me. And we close that Bible, and we go do what we want to do. That's pride. That's pride. So I didn't see that in Ezekiel. Oh, yeah, you did. If you looked at Ezekiel, you saw it. The Lord laid out what he did for Satan. He said, I gave you all this, and you double-crossed me. I gave you all this. You were in my holy mountain. You were the epitome of sound and music and harmonies. And I gave it to you, and yet you crossed me and said, you're going to go higher than I am. You want to pass the teacher. You want to pass the creator. Yeah, see, pride causes us to exalt ourselves up, 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 higher and higher. Then it brings us down. That's what Satan did. Satan wanted to rise higher, higher, even higher than God had created him. See, we need to learn from this, you all. We just like that old secular song. You remember that song that Sly and the Family Stone had? I want to I want to take you higher. Remember that? Baby, baby, light my, he said, light my fire. That's what the devil does. I'm gonna mess some people up today, boy, because I know people love that song. Maybe I'll be singing boom shaka like a like a boom shaka like on the boom down down. Yeah, I know. But that's look at the lyrics of that song, and it spells out the underlying sinister seduction that's in our ear. Can you hear it? See, if you apply that song and just sing it, you all right. You just, baby, baby, you just think about Sly. Oh, I love them times. Sly was, he had the big afro. He'd be like, you know. That's all good. That's all good. And I don't want to digress, but I'm just saying that to tell you, when you come to know the pride that's in man and you come to know Jesus, you start watching everything. You start taking songs and say, ooh, what were they really saying? What were they really saying, huh? What were they really saying? I want to take you higher, higher on drugs, higher on sexual escapades, higher on a baby, baby, light my fire, find up that pipe, that cocaine. What was they talking about? Immorality? Light me up, girl. What were they talking about? And we look at that. We as Christ followers should be able to see the danger of pride in everything. I know I don't want to mess with y'all music, because when you mess, y'all rather me talk about y'all than talk about your music. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know some people that left the church, they were fine. We were doing real good. Boy, I mentioned a song and poof, they were gone. I said, was it something I said? I'm just telling you what the word says. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about, I love Sly. Sly is from the Bay Area and Larry Graham, you know, and all that stuff. I used to sing their music when I was in the world. But something happened when I laid myself down to Jesus. When I started bowing to Jesus, he opened up something in me that I had to start really looking at myself. And I can't walk this walk half the way. I can't walk it with one foot in and one foot out. I can't be like Satan did and wants to rise above the throne of God. God says that, be holy for I am holy. Whatever that means, I got to find out. And how I find out is examining things. Now, I want y'all to stay with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not so much that song, but how Satan rose only to fall into that fiery pit. How that young bank robber that I talked to, I felt something in my heart for that boy, but I didn't know Jesus then, and I'm sure he didn't. But if I could talk to him today, I'd like to. I wonder where he is now. Intelligent, handsome young man who just thought it was a kick to rob banks. How the devil took him up higher. Baby, baby, light my fire. And then dropped him. Dun-dun-dun. Boom, shakalaka, like a boom, shakalaka, on the boom, drop them down. That's what that devil does. He drops you down. Boom, shakalaka, like a. You start thinking about it like that. You start thinking about it like that. You see the danger of pride. I see the danger of pride. What did we speak of last week? We spoke of 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the who? The devil. Who is he? Satan. The devil. Does what? Prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may devour. That's you and me and us. Seeking whom he may devour. Can you hear him singing in your ears? I want to take you higher. But he changes the words. So he says, want to take you higher. Set your soul on fire. Don't you know by now that I'm a liar? No. Set your souls on fire. I'm already going to the lake of fire. Boom shaka laka laka. That means join me. boom shakalaka, like a boom shakalaka, like a boom shakalaka, like a. Who's coming with me? Oh. Y'all say, oh, let me leave now. He done messed my song up completely. I'll never. I can't go to the beach no more and hear the oldies but goodies. No, y'all. I'm just using that. Don't get mad at me. I'm just using that song as an example. And because the Lord dropped it and the lyrics were right there, he dropped it in my head this morning. I said, oh, Lord, what are you telling me? I know some of us old school boppers and stoppers and steppers and R&B throwbacks. We don't appreciate the comparison, but I'm just saying. I'm just using that as an example. I'm just using popular phrases and songs in order to wake us up to how the devil comes against us. About that pride. It's all about that pride, about that pride, about that pride. I ain't gonna even say nothing about that song. Y'all know. I just changed the lyrics to things to see what the song is really saying. You know? And that's how it looked to me. So, by the way, I'm going to get off this music because y'all real quiet. I'm going to get off this music. Just a couple more songs. I got to mention this one. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That ain't nothing but pride. I know they paid Luther to sing that song. Luther Ingram, not Luther Vandross. Y'all really cried in. But Luther Ingram sang that song. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. He said, if being right is being without you, I'd rather live a wrongdoing life. Now, that ain't nothing but pride. You see how Satan don't use songs? He didn't miss the girls either. Who was Mary Wells? She said, but I've got two lovers and I ain't ashamed. Two lovers and I love them both the same. That ain't nothing but a lie. If you got two lovers, how you going to love them both the same? You may lust for them both the same. But that's pride. So when you get to know Satan and you get to really know the subtleties of pride is in there. Don't go away and throw away y'all old albums. I know. Let the Lord work in your heart. I ain't saying nothing about that. That's a different sermon. It's coming, but that's a different one. I don't want to move y'all too fast. We had some nice people. They walk right on the way when they talk about that music, boy. I don't know why I come over to that house and they be turning off the TV and the radio. Hey, Pastor! And I didn't know what they were running around for. I thought they were doing some type of aerobics. And they Woo! You know, God's got a sense of humor. No. He works with each child in their own time. Y'all got me sweating. It's hot today. But anyway, like I was saying, we're talking about pride. See, Satan lets in little foxes. Pride is a little fox. You don't know that pride is working in you. You don't know that pride is crouching at your doorstep. Sin. Pride and sin are related. Remember what I said? They live right next door. Sin comes out, pride comes out too. They're twins. Pride is at the root of sin. He lives in the basement. Sin lives on the first floor. If you got stuff going on in your house, better check the basement. You'll find pride. Huh? Before you get an exterminator, start looking for pride if you got sin. Huh? You see how they live together. Many of God's people, even the prophets, long before us, Satan grabs people. Pride nabbed Eve. Remember how the devil fooled Eve? And he said, did God really say that? And he said, oh, he just knows that you'll be like him. And she saw the pride of life. The pride of life. And she started seeing these things. Yeah. He said, can you see it, Eve? Look at yourself, Eve. And the devil's like, look at me. Look. Let's look together. They cheek to cheek. That old serpent, look at me,
Can't you see it, Eve? Kid, I'm going to make you a star.
Yes, I don't want to be a star devil.
And she just went right with him. He's still doing the same thing, trying to get your ear. Very subtle. Go out with this man. He's the one for you. He's handsome. He got money. Stick with him. Go with him. 6 months later, the man can't be seen. As soon as you go to bed with him, he's gone. And the devil comes back. But there's another man who'll treat you better than him.
Hey, really, devil? What's his name?
Send you another one. And you go with him. Find out he's gone. See, it goes on and on. Get what he wants. And it could happen. And men to do the same thing, send you a woman. See, you're the one you're looking for, I told you. I heard myself on the radio. I had to laugh, but it was so, it made true. If you want a man with a limp to treat you wrong, he's going to send you one with a limp. Everybody else walking straight. You ain't paying them no attention. They walk too straight. Here that one come. Hey, girl, let me buy you a drink.
He said, that's him. I'm in love.
Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying that people like all kinds of things, you know. And he'll send you that one. But that don't mean that you're supposed to take up and see, if you don't know the Lord, you're going to be giving in to your own wants, your own pride, your own emotions. All these things come through. And that's why we can't afford to be away from God. Many of God's people, even the prophets and patriarchs of the Bible in the Old and New Testament, they were not immune to pride. Did you know that? They were not immune to pride. There's a long list. A few of them are David, King David, King Saul, David's son Solomon. Solomon had a whole bunch of nerve, if you ask me, because he had wisdom. He was smart enough to say, Lord, I don't want riches and glory. I just want wisdom. Lord said, that's my guy. As soon as he got wisdom, he acted like he didn't have any. Right? He double-crossed God. Yeah, and the Lord had told him, if you take up with these folks, you're going to be worshiping their gods. He had, 700 concubines? What in the world? 700 concubines? How many times can you be on an episode of The Bachelor? 700 concubines? I don't know what they were taking back in those days, but that's like a spiritual Viagra or something. 700? That was before, Aaron said that was before Viagra. Point I'm trying to make is that these men couldn't fight that pride. Even women. Even Moses had pride. And Moses was a humble man, but he still, pride was found in him. And then his sister Miriam had pride. See, ladies, y'all came back, can't let y'all out either. It gets all of us, is what I'm saying. All of whom know God. And these people saw God's miracle. They saw the hand of God moving, yet they failed to pry. How careful should we be then in our efforts? We haven't seen that cloud that landed at the foot of Mount Sinai. If we saw that cloud land right here in this sunlit day like it is, and a big cloud, and it started lightning right over this church, and a voice said, don't you move. No TV today. No buffet after church. Not today. Fast right here in church. I know nobody would lead his church, because you know that's the voice of God. But these people saw that, yet still they disobeyed. Still they had pride. Mm. So as I said before, the fact alone that God hates pride, that should be reason enough for us to have an aversion to pride in any form in our lives or in the church. We know that God hates pride. That's the bottom line. If my father hates it, I said before, we have to find a way to hate it. How can you live in a house with your daddy and you doing things that he doesn't allow? It's time to get your own house, right? So if we're going to say we're Christ followers and the Lord is living within us and the Holy Spirit has taken residence in our spiritual house, somebody got to go. Either the Holy Spirit or those unholy spirits that are causing us to be prideful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We should be on the lookout for pride. And there are a lot of scriptures that tell us about that. Being on the lookout for things. What scriptures tell you about that? Well, you can't do it on your own. So Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, doesn't it? It goes on to tell you about the things we look out for, the works of the flesh and all the principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. It tells you all about that in Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. And 1 Peter 13 tells us about it. What does it say? It said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then it says, as obedient children, not as in your former ignorance. In other words, before we knew God, we were disobedient. We didn't know about this sin nature. We didn't know about our pride. But it says that once we know him, we've got to drop those things. It goes on to say, therefore, be holy as he who called you is holy. So you also be holy in all your conduct. That means that we got to walk away from pride. We got to learn how to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. And in the book of Proverbs, and back in chapter 16, the same one that we read about, but further north of there in verse 5, there's another interesting scripture. And it says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. It goes on to say that though they join forces, none will go unpunished. That's a powerful scripture I want you to know. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That scripture tells us right up front that pride is a heart issue. Did you know that? It's a heart issue. Pride is a heart issue, and that it's an abomination to the Lord. That means that when we carry pride in our hearts, it disgusts God. It's disgusting to him. When we carry pride in our hearts, that's what the definition of abomination is, a thing that causes disgust or hatred. Now, if that scripture says everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, that means that you're disgusting to the Lord. We are disgusting to the Lord if we carry this in our heart. You know why? Because he knows it's going to lead us to sin. Now get this point, because it's important. You've heard it before, but get it today. With what I've told you, with what the Lord has given me to tell you, get Jeremiah 17:9. And see how it works with this whole scripture on pride. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what it says. In other words, we don't know our own hearts. How many of you were good in algebra and math in school? Anybody? Okay, I'm impressed. Okay, that's good. Okay, so you know about equations then. A plus B equals C and is congruent to, that's about as far as I know, but I can't go any further. Y'all finish it out. But I'm saying, if we don't know our own hearts, yet pride is an issue of our hearts, what's the answer? How can we truly know the pride in our heart? See? Get that? That's the equation. If we don't know our own hearts, yet we discover pride is in our hearts, how can we truly know the pride that's in our hearts? The answer is we can't. We can't. We cannot know the pride that's in our heart. We can't know how deep it goes. We're not that introspective. We're not that bright. We're not that intelligent. Only God is. We'd have to be omniscient. We'd have to know what God knows. We don't know what God knows. That's why we can't say what's in our hearts. We can say what we believe is in our hearts. That's why you always hear people say, well, I'm a good person. I believe I am. You say, are you saved, sir? No, but I'm a good person. And I believe the Lord loves me just like I am. I never bother anybody. I feed everybody. I go on, you know, I give people money when they ask for it. I give them clothes when they ask for it. But are you saved? But I think I'm a good person. Come on now, leave me alone. We don't know what's in our hearts. Who are you to say that you should get an A on the test? The teacher corrects the paper. The tester grades you. God grades us. God tells us how much pride we have in us. We don't even know. Who are you singing to today? Who are you singing for today? Well, I'm singing to the Lord. I'm giving him my all. I'm giving him everything. Really? Are you really? Even that question we have to leave up to God. Say, Lord, I pray that my worship, I pray that my praise, I pray that it was a sweet smelling savior to your to fragrance to your nostrils, Lord. We don't know. He may reject it. What happened to Cain and Abel? Right? Cain said, well, look here, I brought my stuff and it's no good. Was there not pride in it? Was there not jealousy in it? Was there not envy in it? Was there not coveting? And the Lord knew that before Cain even brought it up. And guess what? He knows us before we bring it to him. We can't fake it with God. We cannot fake it with God. You want to know what faking it to God, with God is? I'm going to make a recommendation. I'm going to recommend that you watch a show called Greenleaf. Have you heard of that show? Look at it if you got, I don't know, what is it, Infinity Direct TV? It's one of them episodes. Watch Greenleaf. It's about the church. And the things that you see on Greenleaf are happening today. And I don't promote that. I don't promote bad talk about churches or anything like that on TV. I don't want to put any money in any producer's pocket. But some things we have to see so that we know that that's not us. See? But when you watch it, you're going to see a couple. Just watch a couple of episodes of it. And then come back and we'll talk about it maybe in Bible study. Not today. But in Bible study. Because the pride that's in our hearts. And then we pretend to do God's work in the church. But there is a reason we do it. There's an ulterior motive. And a lot of times it's because of our pride. It's because of what's in us. And that's why the church is stagnant today. That's why the church is up for grabs. That's why you don't see the miraculous hand of God in many churches. God is looking for a remnant of people who will lay down their pride, who will lay down their desires and are willing to walk with God if it kills us, willing to walk with God regardless if he strips us naked today and say, you, I want you to do this. Will you do it for the Lord? Will you lay it down? You don't see that and you won't see it in many churches. This word about pride and our hearts and not knowing our hearts. We don't know our hearts. The Lord says right back after 17:9 and 17:10 in Jeremiah. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give to each man, every man, according to his works, according to the fruits of his doing, to each woman according to the fruits of her doing. I'm the one that tests the heart and the mind. Not for myself. I already know your heart and your mind, but I test it for you so I can give you your homework, so that I can lay it before you and say, no, you're not there yet. There is pride in you. There is unforgiveness in you. There is hardness of heart in you. There are hidden agendas in you. You're not serving me as you say you are. No, you can do better. And you know you can do better because I've told you so. Now get to it. You got your workout. You've got your homework.
That's what God does.
And we don't like it. We don't want the Lord giving us that kind of assignment. We want to make sure that we're doing all right. We're okay. I'm a child of the King. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'll say it again. How you doing? I'm blessed. How are you? I'm blessed. We all blessed. Blessed, blessed. Don't worry about the rest. Put us to the test. Ah, the test. Let's get to the test. You see, when you study God's word carefully and you examine the scriptures in proper context, you're going to come to see how deep the issue of pride can be in each one of us. God is serious about dealing with pride. Let me take you to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is the part where the Lord has sent Nathan the prophet, to King David. And he sent Nathan to David because David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah. You all remember that story? And Bathsheba conceived, and there was trouble brewing. David tried to avert it by taking out Uriah, okay? And so the Lord sent Nathan to David. I just want to read some of this. I got to read down to 13 because I didn't know how else to chop this up. So bear with me. Let me read this, and then we're going to talk about it. I think I have time. It says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There are two men in one city, one rich and the other.'" There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. "The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except for one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger, now we're coming out of the analogy here. We'll come out of that. And so David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Now, verse 7 says, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.' Thus says the Lord God of Israel." Now, listen to this. This is what Nathan is saying that the Lord has given him to say. The Lord is saying this then. "I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping." In other words, they were under your care. "I gave you the house of Israel and Judah." Listen to this last line, y'all. It breaks my heart. Then the Lord says, "And if that had been too little, I would have given you even much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you've taken his wife to be your wife, and you've killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this sun." For you did it secretly, but I'll do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned before the Lord. How sad. How utterly, destructively sad. A path that David carved by committing the sin of adultery, which led to murder. And even then, more murders from David's offspring, if you know David's life. He was filled with gloom after that. And the point is, this is the point, unless the Lord has sent Nathan to give David a wake-up call from this analogy of the man with a lamb, David likely would have been unaware of his wrongdoing. You know why? Pride. Pride. Pride, pride. Living his life day to day with that on his mind. Living his life and then saying that anybody else that does that, I cut him down. But you did it. How's that for pride? You did it and forgot about it. Now everything's fine. And you know, we need to look at this. We need to examine our lives. We in the church today, we need a daily cleansing in order to rid us of the pride that festers in us. See, pride was festering in David. He come to live with it. Some of us come to live with our pride. We go to church and we feel good about it. We go right back to doing the things we did before we came in the church. We go right back to 20 years ago. We go right back to the whatever it was. That's what it's saying. Now, I'm going to prepare to close, but I want to remind you of something. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7 to 9. Then Nathan, I'm going to read that again. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives. I put them in your keeping. I gave them to you. I gave the house of Israel and Judah to you. And if it hadn't been too little, man, I would have given you more. I never turned you, David. I was always there for you. And the Lord is telling us that. What are you talking about? I saved you from drugs. I saved you from addiction. I saved you from homelessness. I saved you from bankruptcy. I saved you from being killed. I saved you. And I'm not even through with you. If that's not enough, I was willing to give you more. But will you even love me? Will you even follow me? Will you follow me? I'm looking for a few good men. I'm looking for just a handful of people that will follow me. That's what he's saying. That's what the Lord is saying. I'm not looking for those that will run out and go to some place where they're just praising the Lord and not even meaning it. They don't even like their neighbors. If a homeless man came in here right now and smelled like maggots and had open sores on him, would you let him sit next to you? If he dragged in here because he's been urinating on the street and you can smell the stench, would you allow him a place to clean up? See, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a church and the type of church where everybody pulls up in a Jaguar or a Range Rover. No, we're not talking about that. Talking about this word of God. We're talking about laying down that pride. You don't know. God knows what you'll do, though. God knows what you'll do. God knows if he gives you that extra to allow you to do what you'll do. He says, I'd have given you more than that, man. I'm talking about God. Says, I would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? In closing, let me say this. Let me ask you this. Nobody in particular. What has the Lord given you? What has he given us? What has he saved you from? Death? Has he saved you from AIDS? Has he saved you from prison? A lengthy prison sentence? Drug addiction? Adultery? I remember being in a man's house with that man's wife. I didn't know it was his wife. That man came in that door, he kicked it in to kill me. I should have been dead. I was 20-something years old, long before police work. Wrong place, wrong time. Trying to help, but in the house. I didn't know this woman was on the run. Kicked that door in and stood over me. If he had a gun, I'd be dead now. He knew I was crazier than him. So he relented. But he had every right to take my life. I know what the Lord did for me. I'm asking you, what did he do for you? Has he given you an apartment, a home, a family? Has he put children in your stead? Are you responsible for them? Ask yourself these things. Has he given you good health? Those of you who are looked upon as leaders, let me ask you, has he appointed you to preach? Has he blessed you to be a greeter, an usher, that you usher in people of God, that you greet them, and when they see your face, they know that you are a greeter, not for the church, but for God. Wherever you are now a greeter for God. Wherever you are now an usher for God. Wherever you are now a speaker for God. And you're under a microscope. Has he put you there? You're a witness for God. Are we sold out for Jesus, as the song says? All filled up. No room, no vacancy. Nobody else. No demonic forces get in here because God is laying down my pride. I pray that God teaches us. I pray that he searches our hearts. I'm going to close, and I pray that we learn to lay down our pride, that we learn to lay our pride to the side so as to be one with God in all things, not just in church. But when we leave this place, we take the church with us, right? The church is in us. Allow the Lord to lay that pride down that we may be rid of that pride which comes before the fall. Amen. Amen. To those of you who have heard this message and are watching, and you may not know the Lord, understand that we can't escape it. Sin is on us. Just as sure as you're breathing, the air you breathe, sin is on you. The only way to overcome it is through Jesus Christ. Not through any false deities, not by any false gods. I'm asking you right now, if you don't know Jesus, to say yes to Jesus. Will you allow Jesus a chance to come into your hearts? He's our only chance. He's our only salvation. I'm filled up because of Jesus. I can't live without Jesus. I'm asking you today, say yes to Jesus wherever you are. I want to pray a prayer for you right now. You don't have to believe me. Do your research, do your homework. Time is running out. Time is running out. We don't know how long we've got. Months, years, maybe. 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 100, maybe. We don't know. One thing I do know is that you need Jesus. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he raised you from the dead, that God raised him from the dead, rather, you will be saved. That's all it takes. So if you're going through these trials and you know what God has done in your life, then, and even if you don't know, take it from someone who's been there. Take it from someone who is still walking around, whom the Lord came to in a big way to save me, so that I could tell you that he wants to save you too. Pray this prayer with me. Remember, the first step is in overcoming sin is to knowing that you're a sinner and confessing it. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'll stipulate to that. But I believe that you died for me and God raised you from the dead. I'm asking you to come into my life and save me, to change me. If you can do that, Lord, I'm yours. I promise you I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. Get yourself a Bible. The Holy Spirit will come and indwell himself in you, and he'll deliver you to a church that's preaching the true word of God. And he'll give you the anointing to see and the revelations to follow the word of God in your heart. This is not a book. It is just much more than that. It is the word of God. So with that, we're going to pray a deliverance prayer, and then we're going to adjourn. And if there's anyone needing prayer, you're welcome to stay afterwards.
Can we stand, please? And for those who can and who will, let's come towards the front, towards the altar, where we're going to be lifting up prayers of deliverance, starting with ourselves. It starts with us first, and it trickles down to our families, our friends, those in our community, joining hands in unity and one accord, asking God to deliver us from these things. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you right now. We ask you, Lord, to take these things out of our lives. Would you remove blasphemy and obscenity? Would you remove profanity and coarse talking, critical spirits? Remove jealousy from our midst, coveting, envy, murmuring, gossiping, Lord. Remove selfishness, greed, and gluttony. Take pride away from us, Lord God. Stubbornness, rebellion, prejudice, racism, hatred, Lord, unforgiveness, unrepentant heart, spiritual blindness, take it away. Remove fear from us, Lord. Let us fear nothing, Lord God, is not of you. Remove confusion, anxieties, contentions, resentment, depression, revenge, superstition. Lord God, help transgender children, these children who don't know their gender and they are mutilating their gender, Lord God. What happens when they come to know Christ and they were a boy but has been changed to a girl? Would you protect them, Lord, till they come to the accountability of Christ? Remove procrastination, complacency, apathy, lying, stealing, fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, mental abuse, sexual, child, and elder abuse, Lord God, spousal abuse. Let us love our neighbors. We love ourselves. Remove domestic violence, murder, abortion, suicide, and the thought of it. Remove self-mutilation, selfish ambition, addictive spirits, spirits of mental illness, infirmities. Even if we are saddled with physical impairments, let nothing keep us from you. Remove discouragement, mocking God, superficial faith, unrighteous judging, conceit, fence straddling, compromising Christianity, casual Christianity, no place for it in your church, in your house. Remove the mess, satanic cults, divination, witchcraft, voodoo, the use of Ouija Ouija boards, seances, psychics, fortune tellers, tarot cards, tea leaves, astrology, anything, crystal balls, anything rooted in the occult, remove it from us. Homosexuality, bisexuality, adultery, fornication, incest, cross-dressing, pornography, immorality. Remove those things, Lord, that you deem to be abominations from us. Would you take away gambling, doubt, division, hidden agenda, distraction, unbelief, cyberbullying, desecrating the land, anything else, Lord God, that would keep us from you, remove it from us that we might be closer to you. We thank you, Lord God. And finally, I'm asking for a blessing for everyone here in this church, everyone that hears this message. Would you bless them, Lord? Would you heal their finances? Would you heal their body, soul, mind, and spirit? Keep us, Lord God, until we come to you and until we can assemble again. We thank you for everyone, Lord God. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he lift you up always. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And we all say amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And if you're needing prayer, prayer warriors.
Traveling mercies. Right.